Hallelujah. Well, God's good, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a good God. And we're having such a wonderful time going through Psalm 119. Hallelujah. One of these days we'll get through. As this, David was pretty prolific. He just kept writing and kept writing and kept writing. It's the song that never ends. All right. Praise the Lord. But it's all good. It's what's encouraging me. You know, one of these days you'll just go through and read it all at once. Or one of these days you'll go through and read it. Maybe you'll make it your meditation all the way through for 22 days. You know, another thing you could do is, you know, there's about 22 Monday through Fridays in a month, generally. If you go through a month, it's about 22 Monday through Fridays if you skip the weekends. You could actually do this psalm at 8 verse stanzas Monday through Friday and finish it up in a month. Amen? So you could do that. It's just a suggestion. You know, or you can read it through. It's a long one to read through, I understand. But I tell you, it's just, but I believe it's really great to have in those bite-sized readings for 8 verses at a time, the way we've been studying it. All right? So I encourage you to do that and make that a meditation in your study, because I think that would be a help to you. Praise the Lord. Good morning. I bet you don't know what book we're in. It never ends. Psalm 119, verse 137. Father, thank you as we begin that you are our guide. You're our study guide. You're the one who leads us through your word, and you're the one who brings us truth and causes us to receive light from our meditation. So, Father, we thank you that as we read, we're not wearied by what in the mind seems to be, wow, how long is this psalm? But we are, in fact, encouraged, Lord God, that you daily fill us with benefits, and that you want us to examine your benefits, and you want us to never forget them, and you want us to see them, to read them, to understand them, to take them. Just as we made our confession that I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we thank you that we read through your word, and your word brings light. Thank you, Lord. I have an expectation that when I read his word, I'm going to receive light. So, Father, today we do receive light by our confession, but we just say it. Lord, I receive light today. You know, you command your soul. Amen? The Bible says that. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bye-bye. Kind of look yourself in the mirror, slap yourself around, and give you a cold water in your face. You get the attention of your soul, because your soul wants to complain. Your soul wants to wonder what I missed because I came in late. You know, that kind of thing, right, brother? Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Don't know. It's just Jesus. Amen. Say, Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Amen. If you can't say anything else, say, Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to say something that's depressing, just say, Jesus is my Savior.
Yes.
You know, you could say something about your wife, you know. But you could say, hallelujah. You could look at yourself in the mirror and go, dear God, how could God love that, you know. But he does. He loves me. He loves you. No accounting for taste. But you're his child. You're his child.
Amen.
I'm his child. He loves me. Amen. Amen. He loves it. You know, that father with those two sons? He had the one that ran off, took all the money and ran off and spent it all. And then he had the other one. The other one, he was the good son, right? He's the one who stayed around complaining that nobody ever did anything for him. So praise the Lord. You can have no good kids and still have a good attitude and still love Jesus. You know, that father, he saw the bad son come, kept running. You know, the one, oh, dear God, my son was dead. Now he's alive. Then he saw the other son coming. Oh, here he comes. He's going to complain now. You know, He not only complains every day, but now he's going to complain even worse. You know, because that, yeah. And you took that garbage son and gave him a party, and you never gave me a party. You know, he said, son, rejoice. Your brother is alive. I mean, that guy must have known God. That father must have just studied the Word of God and just been rejoicing every day. Amen. He's a, you know, because it's kind of like when your kids are messing up, you just rejoice anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you're not trusting in your kids, you're trusting in God. I said, you're not trusting in your kids, you're trusting in God. You know, you can put your trust in all kinds of people. I don't know why we're talking about this. You can trust in all kinds of people, but if you'll put your trust in God, that's where your joy is going to come from. I'm going to put my trust in God. Even though it looks like sometimes, I mean, like Job, you know. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Because we know that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I feel like I'm preaching to two different groups. Is anybody behind this post? Good. No. Okay. All right. We'll see who gets it first. Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. So just, he is just. Righteous are you. So God is just. No matter what you think, no matter what your thought process is about whatever's going on, God is just. But God, what that means is, he is going to do righteously with respect to you. Now, some of you, that might be scary if you're a sinner. But if you're in Christ, if you've received Jesus, if you've received His sacrifice and His promise, everything is going your way. Amen. It doesn't look like it. No, everything is going my way. I don't care what it looks like, everything is going my way. Now, you may be like Jonah. You may have run the other way. God said, go over here. You went over there. You know, and all of a sudden you met a fish. You know, a big one. Dear Lord. But God kept you in that fish. Even though it was a nasty fish, God kept you in there. Amen? He keeps me. He keeps me. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Neither height nor depth, fish, nor any other creature is going to keep us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No matter where I go, no matter where I find myself, nothing is going to keep me from the love of God. Because he's righteous. To remember his promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and through Jesus, he's remembering his promise. Over in Psalm 149, we've read it before. In verse 49, it says that, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. So, I've said, it's not necessarily me reminding God to, you know, David reminded God to remember his promise, but to remind me of his promise. Because I forget, because I get stuff. Because I get things that are going on. I get, you know, stuff going on. We're going to meet in the wrong room today or something. You know, I can complain about anything. But God said, he said, what you want to do is remind yourself of the Word of God, of the promise that he gave you. Because he's never going to leave me or forsake me. He says, righteous are you, Lord, and upright are your judgments. Straight. Level. His judgments don't like drop off the side. You know, in other words, you're not going to roll off. His judgments are absolutely perfect. So his work in me is actually perfect. So no matter where I find myself, he is working in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Nothing messes up his plan. You know, when I goof up and when I do wrong or backwards or sideways, nothing can measure up God's plan because he's always straight. He's always perfectly level. He's always righteous. He's always upright. So nothing in his plan can be thwarted by my foolishness because he's seen the end from the beginning. And he has one plan. What is it? To bless me through Christ Jesus. He's got one plan, to bless me through Christ Jesus. Amen? So what that means is he's also going to work in me good works. He's going to work in me the love of God. I just kind of have to stand back, you know? because I'm going to mess it up. But as I worship Him, I'll step into a circumstance and the love of God will just show up. Because I've been in His presence. I'm walking with Him. And so the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to me. And He's going to manifest Himself in my walk. Amen? Yes. He's going to manifest Himself in my walk. This is not something that I'm trying to perform. I don't kind of get up, wake up, get in my word, pray, and head off to work. And then, okay, how can I be a blessing today? No, I'm just going to listen to God. I'm just going to be led by Him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father say, what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. So I'm doing and hearing and saying everything that He is saying because my relationship with Him is tight. My relationship with Him is not just the morning, but it's the afternoon, in the middle of the morning. It's noontime. It's the afternoon. It's the evening. It's the, as I lay my head, now I lay me down to sleep. God is with, He is with me. And so that's what we, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself, you know, because I get, you know, I'm going to get that way. I'm going to get like, oh, well, what happened here? You know, what, who, you know, you come in and the dog made a mess, you know. I came in and the dog peed a river in the kitchen. And I say, and here Esther comes in, my daughter. Esther comes in, and I'm walking through. I think I had just let the dog out, you know, 30 minutes ago. And Esther's walking in from being off at school and whatever. She's going to do something today and go do something with us. She's walking in there, and I find her cleaning it up. I'm just like, wow, that's just the love of God. I mean, I'm so blessed. I mean, she is such a blessing, you know, to see that. No, I mean, every one of you, you've had, you know, kids, that, number one, you don't want to walk through it, so you're going to do it. But just to do it instead of just, Mom, this dog just, you know, is that she just took ownership and just and began to bless her parents. And so we were just, I mean, just like, just that little thing was such a blessing, is that God is doing that. That's the church next door. They start a little later than we do. I'll just preach louder. Yeah, exactly. All right. Praise the Lord. They got cowbell and everything over there. More cowbell. Okay, it says in Psalm 19, verse 9, I'm just giving a couple of references to this. So upright are His judgments, it says at the end of the verse there, 137. Upright are His decisions are upright. His decisions are in your favor. They're on track to bless you. Because he's not changing His mind based on what you have done or doesn't. He's not changing His mind based on what you did or didn't do. Amen. He's not changing His mind. Well, I think I'll just let this bad news slip in because he or she has kind of forsaken me. No, your hope is in God. My hope is in God. So He is seeing to it that my day, no matter whether an episode takes place that is uncomfortable, my joy is full. How many have had an episode come through the day? But your joy is full. Nobody can take it from me. Nobody can take it from me. Because His judgments are right, are upright. His judgments always work and flow through me. His judgment is not only on my behalf from the Spirit, but His judgments are also on my behalf to bring joy into my day. So I'm ready to give an answer for the hope that's in me instead of ready to give a complaint about who just did what. Amen? I am the joy of the Lord. That's who I am. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not looking at it from the point of view that says I'm trying to work it up. No, I'm not trying to work it up. It's just true. It's just all that there is. There's nothing more. The old man is what? Dead. The old man is dead. When that guy tries to pop up, he's dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Go figure. How does that work? I don't know. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in this crummy body, crummy mind, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. So Psalm 19, just a reference, just to help it out. Psalm 19, verse 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, as we talked about, are true and righteous altogether." The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They never fail. They never fail. They're never against me. Because His righteousness lives on the inside of me because of Jesus. Psalm 39:5, the end of it says, "Verily, every man at his best state," you've heard this one before, "is altogether vanity." So that you compare that to the last one. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of me are vain thoughts. Just not worthless. My opinion of the circumstance is really pretty worthless. The only thing that amounts to anything is what God said. What does God say about that? Let's see. You know, oh boy, howdy, that was awful. And I think I'll work up some kind of complaint to send in about that. And no. How about, Lord, thank you that you love me and you're making a way for me to demonstrate Jesus Christ. You're making a way for me to love somebody. Because that's your heart. Your heart is the same as Jesus. It is. Your heart is the same as Jesus because everywhere he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's you. Well, I don't know. Yeah, no, that's you. So you got to understand what's transformed, what's happened. You've been transformed rather than been conformed. You've been transformed into the image of Jesus Christ from the heart. And it's working itself out daily as you meditate and you worship Him and you thank Him and you give Him glory. All right? Hallelujah. Because that's what He's doing in me. Verse 138, it's Psalm 119, verse 38. Your testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Now over in Psalm 89, so His testimonies are faithful. They're not only upright, but they're faithful. They never change. He's faithful to His promise. He never changes. He doesn't change based on what you did today. He doesn't change based on what your thought about what you were going to do. He doesn't change. I'm glad He doesn't change. They're faithful altogether. He's very faithful. Psalm 89:1 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations, young and old. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. 89 verse 3. Nevertheless, God says, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from, talking about David, my loving kindness will I not take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. He's not going to suffer his faithfulness. He won't even allow his faithfulness to fail. Isn't that neat? Psalm 89, 3. Nevertheless, I like that word because it's kind of like, nevertheless, nothing ever will take away from what I'm about to say. Nevertheless, nothing can take any of His love away from me. He says, nevertheless, my loving kindness, no matter what He does, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor will I suffer my faithfulness to fail. Verse 4, 89:4, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. You know you can't get God to change His mind about you. Oh, God must be mad at me today. He heard what was coming and He just, you know, took my name off the list today. I got put in the back of the line today. Amen. That's what the devil wants you to believe. Now, it may be altogether true. that you have just blown it big time. But God says He's going to keep His covenant. My covenant will I not break, Psalm 89:4. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Did you know you're living every day in a covenant? Remember Mephibosheth? Who? Remember Mephibosheth, David? David's son of one of the children of Jonathan, Saul's son, David's best friend, who was killed. Mephibosheth was lame. A nurse had been running to escape a battle or something, and the nurse was running with him, and she fell, and both of his legs went lame, and he had no help. And he was not able to walk. He was basically, and of course, you know, in those days, you know, there wasn't Social Security, there wasn't Medicaid. So I mean, if you were lame, you just sat like the man there at the gate there that John and Peter came to and brought him a, you know, and said, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Well, this guy, he brought him something else. He brought him the king. And the king said, "Is anybody in the house of Saul?" Jonathan was Saul's son. "Is there anybody in the house of Saul that needs anything, that's left destitute?" "Well, there's this Mephibosheth kid." And they told him the story. And he said, "Go get him, bring him in my house. I'm going to bless him. He's going to sit at my table. He's going to be my son. I'm going to take care of him the rest of his life." That's you. Amen. You were crippled. You were crippled, and God decided He's going to adopt you. He's going to come get you, and He's going to set you at His table. His covenant, this covenant that David made with himself to bless the house of Saul, that covenant is the covenant that Jesus has made with you, God has made with you through Jesus. Amen? Isn't that good? Yes, it is. So you can write that one down. Psalm 89:4, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. What I said, I'm going to perform." 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ." So through Jesus, God's faithful. The covenant that He brought to you through Jesus Christ, He's faithful. That same covenant. All right? 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it." Now this comes to at the end of a long line of what looks like commands. The first one you'll recognize, it says, "Rejoice evermore." It tells you all kinds of things. Be thankful. Quench not the spirit. Pray without ceasing. All of these things. And then finally in verse 5:24, we'll look what He says. He says, "Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it." So everything God ever told you to do, God's going to finish it. God's going to perform it. He's going to do it in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. I love that. I saw that at the end of that after a number of years. I finally read all the way through. Sometimes you need to push through to the end. You know, don't quit early. Push through to the end. Read the rest of that passage. And God will bless you. He'll bless you. You keep reading and God will bless you.
Amen.
Amen. He will. He'll bless you. Because His Word is designed to, "Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all of the day." You know, His law is a blessing to me because His law leads me to Jesus, Galatians says. Yep. The law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Because, you know, because I find that I can't do what I think God wants me to do. I find that. That I discover that fairly often. Amen? I find that I can't do what God wants me to do. It's not in my capacity humanly to do. But He just comes and lives on the inside of me, rises me up. Peter could not walk on the water, but Jesus, He said, "Jesus, if it's You, bid me to come to You in the water." And he came out. Because of Jesus, he stepped out and he began to walk on the water. You know, I believe you'll walk on water. Amen. I believe I will. I don't want to put the burden on you. I believe I will. I believe I'll walk on water. Amen? God's doing it. God's doing it. He's doing a great thing. You know, walking on water could just mean you have, you know, you being happy today. Amen? That's bigger than walking on water. You know, because I believe that God is going to move in me and use me to bless somebody and bring somebody into the kingdom of God. Now, or bring a Christian bring a Christian into joy. Because I don't have to, because there's nothing that is stressing me out. Nothing is stressing me out. Even if it's stressing me out, which it is, there's nothing stressing me out, though it appears so, or though it sounds like it is. Nothing that comes my way beats me. Nothing. And it's not because of me. It's not because I've got it together. I don't have it together. I have nothing together. You know, I'm not tall enough to be together. You know, I can't even reach. You know, I can't even preach over that pulpit. I had to get rid of it. You know, it's too tall. I'd barely be peeking over the top. I can't even see around this post. I can barely see Jack. I hope he's smiling. I hope he's happy. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. We're still talking about verse 138. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That's New Testament. That's the New Testament. He's kind of opening up and giving you revelation of the Old Testament, what the covenant is. He says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. Oh, that's good. He's going to establish you. What does that mean? He's going to give me a foundation. I'm going to have a foundation. I cannot be moved. Amen? He who built his house on the sand, storms come, floods came, great was the fall of it. And everybody knew about it. Boy, look at that idiot. He built his house on sand. But he who built his house upon the rock, the floods came, the winds blew, and that house stood firm. That house, the house on the rock stood firm. That's me. But we forget these things. Amen. Especially when the storm comes and the wind blows. Well, that's why you built your house where you built it. You built your house on the rock so that you could say, my house stood firm. Amen. Not, oh dear Lord, here come the storms. No. You're already prepared. I'm prepared. Hallelujah. Aren't you? Say, I'm prepared. Just declare it. I'm prepared. Because my house stands firm because of faith. And not by faith, but the faithfulness of God. Amen. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Finally, last verse on this section. Titus 1:9. This is talking about the qualifications of a bishop. Bishop is an overseer in the church. But this will apply to any man of God, woman of God, anybody who's filled with the Holy Spirit, any Christian. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to convince the gainsayers, or convince those, or refute those who contradict it. So in other words, your word, the word of God, is strong enough in you that you're comfortable. You're comfortable to not be nervous about trying to do an apologetics on somebody, but you're confident enough to know exactly what to say. To say no, because Jesus loved you, brother, and that's why you're saved, and that's why I love you myself, and that's why I'm here to declare to you the love of God, that Jesus Christ took all your sins, and you can live a joyful life today. You don't have to do anything. God is going to manifest Himself in you and change you. You know, you can just say that, and somebody else is going to say, "Well, yeah, but you need to do good works. Yeah, but you need to, you know, make some kind of sacrifice somewhere, or do something right." You know, they're looking at your works. They're looking at your flesh. And granted, your works are probably lacking. But the fact is that God works in and through you, and Father, and that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost and causes you to not be angry or not be somebody who's destroying the next person. But you're loving them and not afraid to come in and engage somebody with the gospel. Amen? Again, that verse we've been discussing is that your testimonies you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. Psalm 119, verse 139, next verse. My zeal has consumed me. That was the longest discussion, sorry. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. We read this, if you look back up in the prior section, in verse 136. It says, rivers of water Right there in Psalm 119, verse 136, rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not your law. And then Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, said, O Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. Jesus was, he was crying over Jerusalem. That's what we do. I'm serious. This is us. Is that because somebody does not receive the gospel? That's my heart. I want my heart to walk like that. Is that if somebody is rejecting the gospel or not open or listening to the love of God through Christ Jesus, that because I know that that's their salvation. That's the only way to God is through Jesus. Is that rivers of water run down my eyes. I am weeping because people reject His word. People reject His promise. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten Thy words. So when your enemies forget His words, you are not angry at your enemies, but in fact you are loving your enemies. Your desire is to win your enemies and make them friends. That's me. I'm not confessing. I'm not telling you that's a... I'm saying that's me by faith. Amen? That's me. That's you. My enemies aren't my enemies. My enemies are prospects for the gospel. So I don't have any enemies. Amen? I mean, they look like enemies, you know, when they come at me or when they don't believe the word. But they're not enemies. They're in fact those who need Jesus. And because all of my needs are met, I'm not worried about it. I don't have to have anything. I don't have to have them like me. I don't have somebody love me. Amen? I can walk around and just be the love of God. That's me. I'm the love of God. I'm the love of God that somebody would meet. That's why I'm still here. Psalm 140, or 119, verse 40, 140, next verse. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. His word is pure. Therefore, does thy servant love it. Psalm 19, verse 8. The end of it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So that's what purity does. That's what His command of pure, His pure commandment does. It enlightens my eyes. Gives me light. I'm walking in darkness. He's giving me light. How many know daily you're walking in some amount of darkness? Even in Corinthians, at the end of Corinthians 13 says what? So now we walk, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So though in the flesh, our minds, you know, you're only using about 10% of your brain. You know, I believe that's because of the curse. You know, you're only using about 10% of what you got. And that's the smartest person in the room. They're losing everything they got. But He says that His word is pure. And the entrance of His word giveth light. And He says right here that, what did He say? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So my eyes are lit up and given wisdom because of His word. Psalm 119, verse 97, which we've passed a while back. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So He says, thy word is pure, therefore my servant loves it. His word is pure. His word gives me light. Therefore, I like that. I like that. I like the light. I like the fact that His word brings light. Amen? It's great. He's working in me. He's shining in me. Till the day star arise in my heart. Amen? The day star, when I hear the word and the day star arise in my heart, I begin to see things I never saw before. Verse 141. Okay, we're in Psalm 119. I know I'm giving you, throwing a lot of verses at you, but these are just to build you up and to strengthen you, to encourage you, show you that the word of God is consistent. Amen. The Word of God is consistent. Verse 141 says, I am small and despised. Well, don't that make you feel good? It just kind of reminds you that, oh gosh. You know how the enemy just comes in and decides that you're small and despised? You know, even Judah, you know. I mean, he doesn't look too small. But, you know, the enemy will come in and say, you're small and despised. Does he do that? Yeah. It's an enemy, and you know he's an enemy. You know? I mean, look at me. You're small. And therefore, you're despised. Amen? So no matter who you are, you're small and despised. Because the enemy just comes in. He can think up any excuse to put that on you. But I want you to know from right now, it's a lie. David wasn't very big. He couldn't even get in Saul's armor. I like that. Sounds like a guy who's right up my alley. Amen? Praise the Lord. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And Jesus said, come down from there. I'm coming to your house for tea. Or I don't know if that's what he came for, but that's what I remember the song saying. Is that, no. He said, Zacchaeus, you tax collector, come down out of there. I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to your house. Salvation is coming to your house today. So it says, I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. So though I am small and despised, that doesn't, see, I would normally let that cut me off. But he says, yet, because I have now been instructed in the word, I will not forget your precepts. Though it looks like I should just give up, I'm never going to make it. I'll never be president. You know, don't even think about running. Yeah, I mean, you know, don't even think about it. I mean, you know, praise the Lord. How many know most pastors are 6'2" that are successful? Just because they're 6'2". Just because you can see them over the top of the pulpit. Amen. So the enemy will use anything to cause you to be, you know, cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. So you're slapping your soul around again, which is good. Because your soul believes lies. Your soul believes this world. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, however I was raised in this world to kind of gauge and judge what's successful and what's not, what's blessed and what's not, it looks at the flesh, doesn't it? It doesn't look at God's promise. You know, all David's brothers came in and Samuel ticked them all off, or you know, just checked them off his list. Nope. You got any more? Well, we got this little giddy, scrawny guy. He's out in the shed, out in the sheep pen. He stinks. You know, we just didn't have time to find him, or didn't figure he was worth your time because he was the youngest of the bunch. He's the runt. He said, bring him in. And God said, that's him. Everybody want to be a runt? I do. I'll just be a runt. I'll be the runt. Let me be the runt. Let God exalt me. Because I don't have any, thank God you don't have anything that's worth looking at. Otherwise you'd look at it. Amen. Otherwise you'd look at it and think, dear God, I'm waiting for God to use me. That's the first six sons, you know. Well, it's because I'm taller than the rest, or I'm better looking than the rest, or I've got more money than the rest, or, you know, I'm more well-read than the rest, and I got the prettiest girlfriend, or you know, some people think that's how they make it. Their wife's pretty, you know. That's how I made it. So praise the Lord. God bless you. When your wife's in here, you got to preach right. Amen. So all these guys had something they could offer, right? David had what he had. I killed the lion and the bear. You know, they're looking at him. Yeah, but you're a runt, and you stink. And why would God pick you? Because you're the youngest. You know, even Jesse didn't bring him. Even his dad didn't bring him in. He's going, nah, you know. No. God's choices are not your choices. Amen. God's choices are not your choices. God's ways are not your ways. So I'm just happy to be in God's house. It's like Mephibosheth. Didn't say he healed his legs. Said he put him in the house and set him at the king's table and blessed him the rest of his life. So I don't know. I don't know what the end of Mephibosheth was, but I know one thing, he was blessed. And I know he testified of God's goodness and faithfulness. Amen? I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget his promises, his precepts. What he said, he is able to perform. Psalm 40 verse 17 says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me." I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks about me. "Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." God, come on in here. God, come on here. You know, I'm poor and needy, and yet you think upon me. Amen. Psalm 40 verse 17. "I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks on me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." So he's calling upon God. Said, don't wait. Don't wait. Isaiah 53, 5. Everybody knows this. Talking about Jesus. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." But who was that? That's the one who was called to redeem us. And he was despised. He was hated. Yet how much did God use Jesus? He used him in a mighty, mighty, powerful way. And that's how he's going to use you. Because you're in him and he's in you. And the same love that's in Jesus is in you. Praise the Lord. I said the same love that's in Jesus for everybody is in you. Amen. Okay, look at verse 142. "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." John 17 says, "They are not of the world." He's praying for his disciples. Jesus is praying for his disciples. He says, "They are not of the world." How many of you not of the world? I'm not of the world. I'm not. I'm no longer of this world. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's weird. How does that happen? "And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So I'm living in Christ, in this body. And Jesus confirmed it here. He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Jesus said it. So we read this out of Psalm 119, 142. "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy word, thy truth." What is that? What is the truth? The word, his promise, his covenant. Isaiah 51, verses 6 through 8. I didn't have time to write it down. I write this stuff down, actually. You know, I find that writing it down as I'm studying it helps me. I find that. So I'll write down. The verse, the thing that I'm looking at, and then I'll write down the other ones, unless I'm running short, and then I'll say, "Okay, turn to this." Isaiah 51, verse 6 through 8. I'm going to read it quickly. Hope this is the right one. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath for smoke." And it doesn't look like the right one. Oh, here it is. Yeah, it is. Here it is. Okay, I'm sorry. He says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens." This is verse 6, Isaiah 51. "And look to the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever." So all this stuff's going to pass away, but my salvation shall be forever. and my righteousness shall not be abolished. For the moth shall eat them up like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever. And my salvation from generation to generation. My righteousness shall be forever. So the promise that he's made to me is going to be forever. His righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And all thy true law is true. Verse 143. We only got two more to go. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Well, does that sound familiar? Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Sounds like something Paul would have said. Yet, you know, there's always a but. There's always a but when you're talking about trouble in the world. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, there's always a but to that. In other words, here's all this trouble. Not gonna lie. We're going to recognize that there's in the world you shall have what? Trouble. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. He promised us. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Same thing here in Psalm 119:143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet thy commandments are my delight. I love the but. The but in the Bible. But your commandments are my delight. Even though here's trouble and anguish. Oh gosh, this is awful. It's like a stench. Oh. Psalm 119 verse 16. We've obviously been through there. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalm 119 verse 47. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. Which I have loved. And finally, Psalm 119, verse 77. You notice one thing in all those verses? Is we've already been there. We've already been to Psalm 119, verse 16, and verse 47, and here's 77. Let thy tender mercies come to me, that I may live. For your law is my delight. So we're carrying on here. So we've got four verses here in particular in Psalm 119 that are talking about the Word of God being your delight. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. His Word is my delight. Over in Psalm 1, blessed or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of the sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Psalm 1, the very first one. I love that. Happy is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But, rather, not all those things, but his delight is what? Not in any of those three other places, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. A lot of people take their delight in the first three, Psalm 1. In the first three of them. They take their delight in grumpiness, irritation, and hateful, you know, responses. But my delight is in the law of the Lord, because I'm happy. Happy is the man. Happy is the woman. Happy is the person who believes. Happy is he that believes. Remember, the angel said to Mary, blessed is she who has believed, so for it shall be done unto her what was promised. Isn't that true? Happy is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed. How about a she? How about a woman? Blessed is she that believed, for it shall be done to her the thing that was promised. Hallelujah. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, I'm ready, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. See, my delight is in the law of the Lord. In it I meditate both day and night. That's what Joshua told you to do. Then you make your faith prosperous. Then you have good success. He says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth fruit in his season. There's fruit, season of fruit. But his leaf shall not wither. I love that part. His leaf also shall not wither. So even if you're in a non-fruit season, your leaf doesn't wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Leaf, fruit or leaf, whatever you're doing. I'm prospering even though it doesn't look like I'm prospering. Because God said it. If God said it, that's it. Last verse, Psalm 119, verse 144. Last verse in this section. By the way, we're in the section called Tzadi. You know what Tzadi means, actually? It's righteous. Righteousness. Tzadik. So the section we're in today is called Tzadi. It's one of the Hebrew letters. Moving toward the end. Verse 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Well, if you're going to live, I think you're probably going to live everlastingly. Matthew 5:18 says, for verily I say unto you, Jesus, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. So if you're delighting in the law of the Lord, be confident that nothing is going to pass without His promise being fulfilled. Again, quit looking at what's right in front of you. Look at His promise. Abraham looked at the promise and he delighted all the way. He delighted all the way. And he didn't even see it all. We've seen Jesus. We've seen the redemption of our souls, our spirits, and we're walking with Jesus. We're daily walking with Him in thanksgiving, in joy, in peace. Though trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet your commandments are my delight. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 just quickly, a couple more things. 1 Peter 1. Verse 23 to 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord shall endures forever. And this is the word by which, by the gospel, is preached unto you. So this word of God, as he said here in the verse here in 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. The righteousness of His testimony is everlasting. The word of our God shall last forever. By the word of God, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And finally, John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee. This is the prayer Jesus prayed for you and me. That they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God. Knowing God, Jesus Christ came for you to know the Father. Jesus isn't replacing the Father. Jesus, in fact, came to give you access to the Father, because the Father Himself loves you, Philip, He said. Show us the Father. It's the Father Himself who loves you. And this word is an everlasting righteousness, an everlasting truth that continually is transforming and changing me into the image of God. So I trust Him. Not because, pardon?
The first Peter verse, what was that?
First Peter 1, 23 to 25. Meditate on the word. Read it slow. Follow it up. Let the word of God speak to you. This is how you grow. And it's not because you're smart. Pastor Jim is smart. Me, I just muddle through. Amen. So, you know, and y'all are kind of in between me and Pastor Jim. So, you know, y'all can muddle through a little better than I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good. But I know where my hope comes from. I know where my joy comes from. You know, came into the ministry and immediately after about two and a half, three years, I came into the ministry making $5.35 an hour. Pastor Jim said, "Come ahead. $5.35 an hour." That was great. And that was halftime. Didn't work about 3.5 years. Got a little bit going. And then all of a sudden the real estate market dropped out. I think that's about the time Randy and Judy were coming around. And so I went off for about 12 years and just worked like, you know. I called to the ministry, glory to God. Then worked a job for 12 years. Then God had mercy in 98 when Esther was born. Came back. God was good. And then after about 8 or 9 years of that, whoop, there it went again. So, you know, I've never been the top gun or the top guy. I've always had opportunities to complain and, well, how come somebody else made it and I didn't make it? How come somebody else was on top and I wasn't on top? I've had opportunities. But God said, just trust me and I'll bless you and I'll take care of you. Rejoice in all things, even though it's not what you think it should be. You know? So, I hope nobody's ever known me to do much else but rejoice in whatever came your way, came our way. So I love you. And I just want you to know that my joy is full and your joy is full because we've been doing the same thing for umpteen years and just saying, Jesus is wonderful and let's just live it together and let's just walk together in Him because He's a good God. Amen. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the word. Thank you that it's a long word. And we just seem to say the same thing over and over again. But Lord God, we thank you that it's profitable. It's profitable. So I thank you for the wisdom of God and the delight in your word and your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.